in the limelight.
It is inconceivable to the United States that a seemingly ragtag force like Yemen's Ansarullah movement might, with homemade weaponry, outdo the $100 billion might and sophistication of the state-of-the-art systems Washington has lavished on Saudi Arabia. Donald Trump and his accomplices in crime against the Yemeni people are trying in vain to save their faces, as well as that of the American weaponry, by alleging that it was the Islamic Republic of Iran and its superior technology that devastated the Abqaiq oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. Stay with us for an interesting article by Mint Press founder, Chief Executive Officer and Editor-in-Chief, Manar Mohawesh, titled, Holes in the Burning Saudi Oil Fields. Manar Mohawesh is a regular speaker on responsible journalism and a critic of the neoconservative media. Tensions between Saudi Arabia and Iran are escalating to new heights, meant to draw the United States into a confrontation with the Islamic Republic after a sophisticated attack from Yemen targeted Saudi Arabia's Aramco oil facilities, the largest oil processing facility in the world, knocking out half of the country's oil capacity, or more than 5 million barrels a day, and leaving the oil fields in eastern Saudi Arabia in flames. The attack was nothing the regime in Riyadh had seen before or even expected. If US and Saudi intelligence are to be believed, 18 drones and 7 cruise missiles were launched and went undetected by both American and Saudi radar systems. The weaponry even went unnoticed by the US military base nearby, the Prince Sultan Air Base, which is guarded by an American Patriot missile defense system, and over 500 US military personnel are based there. You better believe an attack at this level targeting a crossroad for global oil supplies did more than ruffle a few feathers. Panic not only struck British-created Saudi Arabia and the international economy, where oil prices spiked 19%, the highest ever recorded one-day increase, by US and Saudi politicians, as well as a chorus of mainstream pundits, began to beat the drums of war targeting an old foe, Iran. Saudi and US military analysts have tried to say, though unconvincingly, so-called satellite images of the missile strike on the oil field, purporting to show that the drones and missiles came from the direction of Iran. Experts, however, are already countering these claims, pointing that the images show impact points that are indeed west-northwest, which is the opposite direction of Iran. Despite providing no substantial evidence and citing so-called anonymous intelligence, you know, the same intelligence that to justify war with Iraq that claimed Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and that Saddam was working with Al-Qaeda, the corporate media has amplified and endorsed the Saudi and Donald Trump administration's claims to manufacture consent for a war with Iran. NBC and CNN repeated the official line, or the official lies, that Iran was likely behind the attack. And CNBC took Saudi officials' words as gospel, without once questioning the government narrative that is setting us up on a warpath with the Islamic Republic. President Donald Trump, in an attempt to deflect attention from the almost daily bombing of the Yemeni people and the destruction of their infrastructure by American-supplied weaponry of Saudi Arabia, threatened that the US was locked and loaded and ready to retaliate, then escalated tensions by announcing that he was introducing a substantial new round of sanctions, thereby further reviving the economic war, or more properly, economic terrorism against Iran. Indeed, whilst the media is choking up the airwaves with pro-war and anti-Iranian propaganda, what's been lost or perhaps purposely left out from this coverage is who actually took responsibility for this attack and why. Yemen's Ansar Allah movement immediately claimed responsibility for the attack on the Abqaiq oil facility. Its military spokesman, Brigadier General Yahya Sari, announced, "We assure the Saudi regime that our long hand can reach any place we want at any time we choose." This wouldn't be the first time Yemen's resistance movement launched an attack on Saudi soil. Just last year, Saudi officials said they intercepted more than 100 missiles fired from Yemen. The Ansar Allah movement quite obviously have no interest in conquering Saudi Arabia or even damaging the warring neighbour apart from what is needed to counter and deter ever-increasing Saudi attacks and defend what is left of Yemen. The Ansar Allah have spent the last 5 years resisting the US Saudi-backed bombardment of Yemen, which has created the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, leaving over 100,000 Yemenis dead, over 23 million Yemenis starving, a cholera health crisis, and a human trafficking epidemic. The humanitarian crisis has killed a Yemeni child every 10 minutes from preventable diseases, starvation, and malnutrition. Saudi Arabia enforced an illegal blockade of Yemen, preventing food and medical supplies from entering the war-torn country, and effectively weaponizing humanitarian aid after taking a key seat on a United Nations Human Rights Panel. Perhaps if the media did their job in reporting these facts, it would be an embarrassment for the United States military machine. It would expose the utter failure of billions of dollars of Saudi and American military defense systems against a grassroots resistance movement taking on the Goliath of the United States Saudi-backed coalition's genocidal war against the Middle East's poorest country. But this conflict goes further back than 2015. The United States has occupied Yemen in its pursuit of expanding its military empire under the guise of war on terrorism. Since 2002, the United States has been drone bombing Yemen, setting up military outposts and torture facilities whilst exploiting the nation's rich mineral resources. Yemen was once called a living museum, a cradle of many civilizations and home to some of the world's oldest human-carved landscapes and architectural structures that date back to centuries before the time of Prophet Jesus. Yemen is considered the richest country in the region in terms of minerals, culture, and history. But today, UNICEF describes its economy and society as on the verge of collapse. The military occupation of Yemen has given the people there a death sentence, so the United States can rattle its saber at Iran to justify the expansion of its military empire that feeds the maw of the military-industrial complex. Blaming Iran for an attack on the world's largest oil processing facility suits the interests of American accomplices in the region, including Saudi Arabia and Israel, which have directed Donald Trump's foreign policy in West Asia that has included attempts to isolate Iran. The story presented to Western audiences by the mainstream corporate media is rationalized by a carefully crafted and false narrative that the United States-backed Saudi-led war against Yemen, which has dropped over 50,000 bombs on that country, bombs made and supplied by United States, is to prevent an expanding Iran that is arming the Ansarullah movement of Yemen. But leaked internal documents show that many of these connections made by military intelligence were deliberately fabricated, and Yemenis are actually capable of manufacturing their own modern weaponry. This shows how the Ansarullah movement in Yemen are apparently more capable than the Saudis have been in manufacturing the weapons they have used to pulverize Yemen, which are being sold to the kingdom by the United States at a rate of $8 billion. Just as the US claimed that all their interventions during the Cold War were to defend against Soviet aggression, now any region in West Asia the empire wants to expand, exploit and occupy is conveniently labeled an Iranian outpost, justifying more wars in that territory. Beyond this, it is of course inconceivable to the United States that a seemingly ragtag force like Yemen's Ansarullah movement might, with homemade weaponry, outdo the $100 billion might and sophistication of the state-of-the-art weapon systems Washington has lavished upon Saudi Arabia, almost as embarrassing as losing to the North Vietnamese. So that couldn't be what happened. For decades now, manufacturing consent by war by using false pretexts has been seized by both parties, whether Democrats or Republicans. Both the Democrats and the Republicans have spread disinformation to demonize an entire nation in order to drum up support for a war. Now, with the Saudi oil fields burning, the disinformation campaign moves into high gear, ignoring or selectively reporting not just key physical evidence, but also the whole context of the humanitarian crisis in Yemen that has given rise to desperate measures to which the Yemenis have been forced to turn to. A right to self-defense under the Geneva Conventions. If the Western media cared to report on this context, it would expose the United States coalition as a paper tiger, which would mean that all of the blood and billions of dollars spent by Washington in West Asia was essentially for nothing. It would also show the world that a united front organizing against war does work. After landing in Saudi Arabia after the Abqaiq attacks, US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo scolded the media for asking about the Ansarullah movement claiming responsibility for the attack on Abqaiq. Pompeo's response was that they are liars. This coming from a man who on video admitted to lying and deception whilst heading the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. And just as before, it is not the politicians like Mike Pompeo that pay for their lies, but it is the ordinary people that pay, and they pay with their lives.